Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Oi! The boys and girls on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language. And sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature. So keep the volume down if there are kiddies around. And thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go! Booty, booty. It's time to get this party started. Booty, booty. It's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mates and now it's time to go. Cause it's the booty, booty. It's time to get this party started. It's the booty, booty. It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jim, and JC. All we know and all we talk about is booty, booty. It's time to get this party started tonight.
You're listening to FP Presents CF Montreal Three Questions. Footy Prime, your almost daily footy fix.
Welcome to Footy Prime Presents CF Montreal Three Questions, one of our three MLS-specific pods for our Canadian franchises. We have Ollie Brett, whom everybody knows now, everybody recognizes, host of the excellent FC 919. In English, that's FC 919. Hayat Laurent Courtois on for an intimate 30-minute chat this past week. So if you haven't checked it out, go check it out wherever you get your podcasts or on the BPM Sports website, because Apple Podcasts sent me to a different show and I was none too pleased. And RDS play-by-play man as well, and president of the Eric Ten Hag fan club.
Yeah, that's for the haircut. Maybe it's up for debate for the rest of it.
Okay, and then today we're lucky to have with us Patrick Lezuc. So not only director of soccer culture with CF Montreal, but the man, the myth, the legend himself, 221 appearances for the Impact, former Canadian international, and Farley Dickinson Knights player and stalwart, which is a bit of a misnomer for me to call a team a Knights when they're a liberal arts college, but...
What? Chivalry, right?
Oh, okay.
Liberal arts, yeah, after the Middle Ages, whatever.
Yeah, no,
once
I like
a knight,
that.
Always a knight, I guess.
I like that, yeah.
And not a president of any fan club, unfortunately.
President of the Amy Walsh fan club?
Yeah, we'll have to start that club.
Yeah, we'll see.
By the way, the liberal arts part is another of the many things that tie Pat up with Matthew McConaughey, two directors of culture. I'm still waiting for the piece of content with those two incredible universes collide at some stage in the future.
Why don't we see if we can get McConaughey for next week then, Ollie?
Sure, let's do it.
I mean, where do we go from here after you talking about McConaughey and Lezuc together?
All the way up.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So before we dive into CF Montreal, I mentioned Pat Lezuc, that you have previously played for the men's national team. So our Canadian men's national team, a really critical matchup on the weekend against Trinidad and Tobago. Lots of representation from Quebec, lots of representation from current and former CF Montreal players, and the coach in Mauro Biello. So I want to get both of your thoughts on that game, but particularly you, Pat, your thoughts on the Quebec contingent and the club representation.
It's no secret that having Mauro Biello as a coach, I think, helps out the opportunities for Quebec players. He's known many of them when he was Montreal Impact coach. His son has been part of our academy as well. He's been close to the organization. Obviously, he's a club legend and has followed the club with attention. I think it was already the case when John Herdman was head coach and Mauro Biello was his assistant. I think there's respect and attention paid to what's going on here at CF Montreal. And I think that's all that we're asking for. I think everybody's asking for, basically, whether you're in Vancouver, in Alberta, in Ontario, or in Quebec, Maritimes, you just want a fair shot at being selected and not being overlooked. And I think having a coach from Montreal helps out. This being said, we've also had recent success at the club, especially 2021, 2022, when the club was did really well in MLS, as it has helped establish a player like Ismaël Koné, who I thought had a tremendous game in the midfield along Steven Eustáquio. And I think, having a young player from Quebec establishing himself on the international stage, but having started here in Montreal, opens opportunities for others. And I was glad that Mathieu Choignard got a shot coming off the bench. I know that Joel Waterman is not a Quebec player, but he's a CF Montreal player. And I was very proud that he was the starting center back. That the team has had Steven Vittoria as its strong pillar at the back of as a center back over the last few years. And for Waterman to step into that position, a very important game. I thought he did well. I thought there were some scares with Trinidad and Tobago, but there's a lot of proud moments to have the Quebec and CF Montreal contingent present and contributing to this victory.
Yeah, it was certainly great to see that back line with Waterman at the heart of that defense, but shoulder to shoulder with Alistair Johnston and Kamal Miller, two former players at the club as well. What were your thoughts or biggest takeaways from that match, Ollie?
Well, from the match, I just want to maybe bounce off what Pat just said. It's absolutely true that I think you won't have a negative bias if you have Mauro Biello as head coach. At the same time, he made those decisions to make sure they got through. Like, it's not out of charity for some friendly game, right? He legit believed that those players, be they ex-CF Montreal or Impact players like Max Crépeau and all that, like, those were big decisions, putting Waterman there as well, Ismaël Koné. So I find it interesting that now I feel less and less, and we'll see in the future if it's Mauro, I presume it'll be some sort of continuity. If it's somebody else who comes in, are we beyond that feeling that Quebec is some sort of like black sheep amongst the rest of Canada, where players aren't really understood or maybe not looked at in the same way? Hopefully that's just behind us. And now you're looking at a player just for what he or she, for that matter, can bring to the national team. So that was my big takeaway over the last, I'd say, few months, because it's true that had started with John Herdman. And the other thing you're seeing is, and now we're going a bit more macro, since Olivier Renard came in 2019, the plan has been to develop young players and use CF Montreal as a stepping stone for bigger and better things for them, hopefully in the future, selling them on, making some money, etc. Well, you're seeing the fruits of that labor at the moment. You look at how many players were there. You're talking about that back line. If I had said that to you 4 years ago, the three guys who will be at the back trying to qualify Canada for Copa America and an opening match of that tournament against the world champions and Lionel Messi, it's going to be your center back from CF Montreal in 2024 and two guys that you sold on, be it to Celtic or to Miami. Now, obviously, it's Portland for Kamal Miller. I'm not sure we would have believed that plan being followed through all the way. And that's what we're seeing at the moment. And I think we need to really tip our hats to CF Montreal for that.
And Amy and Olivier, I think there's also, I mentioned that we had success in 2021, 2022, but also 2023 was a tremendous season for Mathieu Choignard. He's been, working so hard at integrating the national team. Same for Jonathan Sirois. He didn't win the match, but he was selected. And our good start to the season has helped out. Our, CF Montreal has had games on the road. Our midfield pair was Chouanière and Piet in all of those games, and they were both selected, along with Waterman, who's been, he's been solid at the back for us, and showing leadership. So I think when I say, there's no black sheep and no inferiority complex anymore, maybe, but there's still, is the national team paying attention to what we're doing? Mm-hmm. And we have proof that, yes, they are.
Absolutely. I think you're seeing it on both sides as well. And we'll dive into your national team career, but my own, like, we were usually two or three Quebec born players who were there, at most maybe five. But now I think you're seeing a push from both programs where you're seeing more representation from Quebec, which I think better reflects the talent pool in this province.
And not just, Pat, I'll let you go on that in a second, but a quarter more or less of the squad was from Quebec. But then, Pat, there's also the staff, like Yannick Girard is there with Mauro. Mauro Biello is there himself. So that has huge value in terms of considering talent in every province, I presume.
Look, the objective is for the national team to win and to qualify for big competitions like the World Cup, like Copa America, to perform and be ready in 2026. Having said this, I think we need that competition between academies, between, national high performance centers or Excel centers, whatever they're called now. And you need the motivation to say, well, we're a fifth or a quarter of the population. We should be, should just strive to be above that on the roster of the national team, because we need to do our best to dig out the talent and to really expose it and to contribute, to fit in with the rest of what Canada has to bring to the table. And I think we'll be a richer and a better team that way. You need a coach that buys into this and develops that culture where, we're going to be a melting pot. We're going to make hard decisions on who plays. And it's not an easy task for Mauro Biello to pick who's going to start up front and who are the pairings. And, you have a player coming on, Jacob Schaffelberg, who just, was electric and scores a tremendous second goal. And now you're like, well, what are you going to do next? Who's going to start against Argentina?
It's the Maritime Messi against Messi, right? That's the matchup everybody wants to go see in Atlanta, I think. But Pat, I want to kind of piggyback on something you said. You talked about Mathieu Chouanière and how well he's come on, how well he's progressed. Last year was a leading scorer in a year that, was difficult, I think, for everybody. But putting the spotlight on you for a minute, in 2005, you yourself had quite a formidable year where you were selected for the national team to represent them at the Gold Cup. But then you also had a really great year with your club. So our first question, 10, actually almost 12 minutes in here, is balancing the demands of both club and country from a player's perspective, what is most important? But now you working in the brass for the club, what is your perspective or point of view on that and wanting these players to stay healthy and available for you to compete in MLS?
Well, as athletes, I think the players, they want to play as much as possible and they want to win every game and contribute. Mathieu Chouanière is an interesting example. I he has not been an integral part of the national team, whereas with CF Montreal, he's established himself not only as a regular starter, but now as a central midfielder. His story has been one of, I'll play wherever I'm needed, to trying to prove to his coaching staff, to his to the club that, well, my real position is central midfield. And he's been playing that position this year, where he was playing as a left or a right back over the last few years. And he comes on for the national team as a right back. And actually, I recognize the Mathieu Choignard that we saw in Montreal in 2021, 2022, where he had great success. And I think it's part of his story. And you know, I think it's an inspiration. And I wish back in 2005 that not that I would have played as a right back, but that I would have, you know.
That wouldn't have been good for anybody, Pat Lidzik.
Yeah, well, no, but I felt like I was contributing more at the club level than I was at the national team. I was very proud to represent the team. I don't know about the capacity I had to really push and earn more caps, but still, every time you wear that shirt and that you're playing for your country, you know, you want to do as well as you can. And I felt like I was not, giving out or producing the same way that I was able to for my club. And maybe, you know, it's the type of player I was and still am, you know, a diesel engine, you know, it's slow start. I need some time to get going. I need more caps. Call me up, Mauro. Call me up.
We're talking though, guys, about like, obviously this is a CF Montreal podcast. We're on the back end of a good result. Canada's going to Copa America. It's very exciting. And we're talking about juggling club and country for players, but Laurent Courtois has a heck of a job to do now with club and country as well. Cause Pat, I don't know if you guys did the same thing at the club or maybe you had done it beforehand and I was late to the party, but the first thing I did when they qualified was A, try and figure out how many days before that match on June 20th, Mauro or whoever was going to be there will call players in. And the math I come up with is at least three matches will be missed by anyone called up with Canada, or it can be Ariel Lassiter with Costa Rica as well. Could very well be four because it's on the 15th. How many days before historically, like, is it a week? Is it 5 days? Like, do you think they're there for the 15th?
Historically, we've never been to Copa America, so there's no precedent.
No, well, that's true. But we did qualify. Craig Forrest made sure to fact check. I think it was CBS who put out a publication where, like, Canada qualifies for the first time. They did qualify back in the early 2000s, but were unable to go because of what was happening. And on the ground, it was quite dangerous conditions.
Right. But we don't have precedent on who's being called at what point. And with these competitions, Olivier, it's going to be a hard one to deal with for our club, for all the clubs that have players involved in the competition. Month of May will be very busy for us.
Canadian Championship.
Canadian Championship, in addition to regular season matches. You've got that condensed schedule and, you know, early summer, because we then have the Leagues Cup coming up at the end of July. But I think that you've noticed, and I can't speak for Laurent Courtois, but I think you've noticed that we've used a number of players on the roster in various capacities.
Yep.
There is some depth to the squad, and there will be opportunities for players who are, you know, not necessarily standing on the sideline right now, but are coming back from injury, for example, and will be testing also maybe some of the young players that haven't really contributed thus far.
Just for people listening in at the moment, the 15th of June, which is 5 days before that match against Argentina, it's CF Montreal are at home against Real Salt Lake. On the 19th, it's at home once again against the Red Bulls, then on the 22nd away at Colorado, and back at home against Philadelphia on the 29th. And now I'm just putting my analyst cap on. My big question, Amy, is Jonathan Sirois going or not? Because that's where one of the big gambles of the all season comes into play. Sebastian Breza, does he have the feet to do what Laurent Courtois is asking? Does he have enough minutes behind him at that stage? I think it'd be logical to see him keep goals in the Canadian Championship in May, especially if you think there's a possibility Sirois will be going in June and missing 3-4, potentially, hopefully, 5 games. That's going to be a big one. And you know, Olivier Renard did an outstanding job in the offseason building a roster that not only was interesting for 2024 as a whole, but they got results immediately, partly thanks to guys that you brought in, especially up front. But Sebastian Breza, to me, could be one of the huge stories of that month of June. If you get through that period and you got one, two wins, you manage to get through without losing, that would be incredible in terms of roster depth, but it will be a big challenge for Brezza if that's the case.
Yeah, and traditionally how the club is kind of balanced minutes for your number two, you get them in for Canadian championships. Yep. And Pat, you can weigh in this later, but what concerns me, and I think you probably see Olivier Renard and Vasily Kremenzidis have conversations with Mauro Biello and see what he's thinking coming into Copa, depth at the goalkeeper position. We know that it's there with Crépeau and Dane St. Clair likely ahead of Sirwa, but in there and he's pushing those guys and really building a solid goalkeeper union. But I'm sure that conversation, if it hasn't already taken place, it will take place. But what concerns me from a club perspective, but also national, well, actually mostly from a club perspective, is losing those guys down the spine of your team. So you've got your goalkeeper, mm-hmm. you've got the heart of your defense, and you've got two guys who have basically upheld the middle of the park. So that's a concern for me if I'm Laurent Courtois.
Yeah, I mean, it's part of the game. I'm sure, you know, Philadelphia's concerned losing their starting goalkeeper if he plays for Jamaica. You know, I think it's the same with teams all over. Miami's going to have to deal without, you know, some of their stars if they're called up for Argentina.
If they're called up, yeah.
and then you have to deal with injuries. So I think that's why you build, you know, a 30-player squad. And you hope that you don't need to only use 13 or 14 of them. Because ultimately, if you end up playing always the same players, you know, you're not optimizing your resources and you'll run out of fuel eventually. And, you know, I would like to be proven wrong if that happens and we succeed. But I think, you know, historically, you know, teams with some depth, have had success, which doesn't mean that you don't stick to a lineup once you're down the road in the playoffs. But to get there, you need everybody to contribute.
And just to finish off on that, Amy, because I know we have to move on, but Jonathan Sirois is a really interesting one. Can you negotiate that he stays for the game on the 15th and say, look, he'll come in considering he's going to be your number three goalkeeper? I think that that's a legitimate conversation to have. Having said that, if you want to add value to young players, and potentially Jonathan Sirois is definitely not off that list, you want to sell them on, you absolutely want them to be on a Copa America roster, even if it's to be number three on the bench against Argentina, Chile, and Peru. So that's a kind of a tough position to be in, especially if you're Olivier Renard.
Yeah, for sure. Looking at that pros and cons column from a club perspective and from a sporting perspective, for sure. So we'll take a quick break and we'll be back with 20 minutes in, two more questions.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What up, Primers? It's JC, that guy. Don't miss a second of Premier League action only on FuboTV. Subscribe at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. With Serie A, League One, and One Soccer 2, you can get it all at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. Now, back to the show.
Okay, so this team so far has exceeded expectations. We're not really shifting gears, but kind of just moving on to our next questions. Does that unfairly raise the bar for the rest of the season? Do you think that they've outperformed, or this is kind of where they should be, kind of four games in, Pat Lutzik?
I want to say that's where we should be, because that's the ambition that this group has. And I know that our project is putting young players to the forefront. But our project, you know, if you're asking the players or the coach, also involves winning. You want to win every game that you're playing. And obviously, I think one of the keys now is the way that the team is playing. It doesn't really matter who's on the field, but there's a common, there's a collective, you know, desire to play a certain way. It doesn't mean that it was achieved in every game, but there were moments that were inspirational and that collectively I thought the team was happy with. Even in the game against Chicago. And so you need to build on this. And obviously you might not win, you know, the same rate of games throughout the season. But I don't think there's pressure. I think there is more confidence in the way that we're establishing ourselves on the road. And hopefully we don't get the jitters and the pressure of thinking, well, we need to do so much better when we're playing at home. You know, we just need to stick to what has brought us success. But it'll be a different story because teams might sit back and we'll have different, you know, game scenarios. But I think we've got a good foundation going, and it's going to be interesting for the rest of the season.
Who set the bar, Amy? This bar you speak of, whose was it?
I think it was probably, I think the public perception, I think the buzz coming into this season, Laurent Courtois, the way that he blew everybody away on January 8th when he sat at Nutrilet and sort of laid everything out in terms of his philosophy and his approach, and the way that the players bought in. And then I think the league is kind of caught on as well. So
exactly.
You're even seeing it in the power rankings, which traditionally, you know, like Canadian clubs don't get a whole lot of respect. But I think people are waking up to CF Montreal, not necessarily being contenders, but saying, this is a legit side here. And we need to sit up and this might work against CF Montreal.
Well, that's precisely why I was asking you, because I think that anybody who followed the evolution of that club in the offseason, just the fact that everybody agreed that Laurent Courtois was aligned with what was done in the past before Hernán Losada, that's not that much of a surprise. Now, I'm just talking about how the team is playing and the vibe around the club. I totally agree with you, and that's why I was asking. If you ask people south of the border now, is it a surprise? It's a monumental surprise for anybody who didn't follow what happened in the offseason and during training camp. Now, the way what Pat said was super important. The way they're playing, they went and got results, and I think they'll do better than last year overall, but I do feel that they'll drop some games that they didn't drop last year at home because they'll try and play, because they'll stay true to their DNA. So those points might hurt you sometimes when you're at Stade Saputo, but you'll go and get an awful lot more results on the road because you'll also stay true to your DNA, and you won't be afraid once you get on the chartered flight that you've already dropped 2 points before even taking off from the airport in Montreal. So I'm not, it's a bit too early basically to extrapolate. Is this a monumental surprise? No, not yet. I'm really interested to see what the first 4, 5, 6 game at Stade Saputo are going to give.
Yeah, and that's a good point that you made too about the home form and the home brand of football that we're going to see, because we've seen snippets, we've seen spells of what we expected to see under Courtois, a team that's aligned, that understands mm-hmm. what they want to do. But you've also seen a hefty dose of pragmatism in their approach, where they're going to go out and they're going to try to get points in a way that the opponent kind of gives them openings and makes mm-hmm. themselves vulnerable, and the team's going to capitalize on that. So to that end, we need to move on a little bit here. What do you guys think here with DC this weekend, and then Lumen Field, Seattle is the last of 6 games on the road before the team comes back to face the leaders in the East in FC Cincinnati. So Troy, I always have an issue with his name, Troy Lassane, lots of consonants in there, not really sure how they go. But you can draw a lot of parallels between these two clubs. You can draw parallels between Lassane and Courtois. He was interim last year at Red Bull. It's his first head coaching job at MLS. He's got a distinct philosophy of play where he's going to press high. He's going to put that back line and see if Montreal will want to play out of the back under a lot of pressure. And they also, in their roster construction, have veteran seasoned guys, lots of experience with the balance of youthful kind of upstarts and superstars. So it's going to be a clash and it's going to be a difficult matchup. So what are you thinking going into this one, Pat?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a battle. I mean, it's it's a direct opponent for a playoff qualification. I know we're far away from the playoff picture, but still you need to get points from DC. If you figure that every team in the Eastern Conference, there's, 6 points at play over the course of the season. If you could get three or more points against each opponent, for sure you're going to qualify. But that's one of those battles. I think they've got the buy-in for the new coach coming in, and players seem to be clicking. There's going to be a battle on the right side between one of our former players, Aaron Herrera. Right side fullbacks won't be facing each other directly, but Rouen, who's had a great start to the season for CF Montreal. So that's an interesting one. Bentek has been also contributing on their side. So he's the type of player that we need to contain. But I'm sure that we'll be prepared and excited and trying to, overcome the last game where, we felt like we deserved a little more out of it. And let's try to get points on the road again.
And in many ways, before we hear your thoughts, Ollie, I wanted to kind of talk about this in our previous question, but you just brought it up there, Pat. In many ways, I think that kind of snag with that calamitous game, lots of decisions working against the team, having to rally and group together and work against adversity, it almost is a blessing, I think, that it'll be looked back on one. So if they get 3 points there are not a whole lot of learnings that you can take away from it. There will be some because it's Courtois and we know he's looking at it. But the fact that they didn't claim any points and then they have to reset, they have match day 6 off. And there, again, that's that delicate balance of trying to stay sharp with your rest and balancing that with your rest and recovery. But I think that hitting that snag at this point in the season will be looked at as a positive, I think, from the technical staff, but also as the players.
We certainly hope so. Amy, it's been a long time.
Silver lining, maybe?
Yeah. Let's hope so. We need to use it that way.
Well, I tend to agree with you, Amy, because it was a reminder for everyone that you can do everything okay, not to say right, and then you're one mistake, individual mistake away from everything going sideways, be it Raheem Edwards getting sent off, be it Jonathan Serrois coming out for that ball at the end. So I think it's a reminder of the margins you're dealing with, especially when you're a club of Montreal's stature. So I tend to agree with you on that one. And just to finish off on the game at the weekend, if Tyler Miller is not back in goals and Alex Bono is there, to me, it's a great opportunity. If you put pressure on the back line, I think he can be a bit hesitant and shaky when he's on the ball. So I think that's something that you can try and exploit. I do like that type of roster. It's a kind of adapted Red Bull version for DC United. And I think that's a really good fit. And Pat was talking about Benteke. I'm sorry, that guy is incredible. I was watching the St. Louis game at the weekend, 2-2. You had a great kind of playoff feeling, and it was only a few games in the season. And you look at Benteke, he reminds me of a guy who's able to jab you in the mouth like Mike Tyson with his left hand and then draw a Picasso with his right hand. His ability to be so strong physically, yet be clean, even I'd say gentle technically to lay it up for other guys. It's incredible what he's able to do up front. I wouldn't want to be Joel Waterman for that one. Let's just put it that way.
No kidding. He's a magnet of sorts. Vanessa Gill is described as that for the women's national team and for Lyon on set pieces. So CF Montreal is going to have to be wary of Benteke and described it from or by our Ollie Brett as a Renaissance man, perhaps on the pitch.
Yeah, knowing, having chatted with Vanessa a few times over the years, I think she'd probably be a bit more self-deprecating about her feet. But I think that's one of her great qualities. She's able to just keep plugging at it. And that's what brought her to where she is now and being so important, especially for the national team.
That's great. Well, thank you so much for your time, you guys. We've gone over again, but great, great conversations, compelling chats. And speaking of compelling chats, I mentioned Ollie's interview with Laurent Courtois earlier on in the show. Check it out because you brought up Raheem Edwards, Ollie, and to hear Laurent Courtois talk about how the team deals with that kind of gaffe and that error. Mm-hmm. And he said, nobody feels worse than the guy himself. So you acknowledge it and you move on. And I think that's the sort of human first approach that we expect from Laurent Courtois. So thank you to our sponsors, FuboTV.com and also Tony Bett, and keep supporting independent podcasts. And Platt, was there anything that you wanted to plug from the club perspective?
I started out as the liberal arts guy and you called Olivier the Renaissance man. So there we go. We'll have to figure out, you know, your picks of guests for next time.
Yeah, well, to be clear, I was referring to Benteke as the Renaissance man, right? When he was jabbing with the right, and then he was painting the Picasso with his left.
Same, but different.
I need to go back to school. But I get you. Yep.
Well, I appreciate you both. Thanks for the chat. And thanks for your time.
All right.
This episode of Footy Prime has been brought to you by FuboTV and by Tony Bett. Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @Footy_Prime and on Instagram at @FootyPrimeIG. And visit WeAreFootyPrime.com and sign up for our newsletter.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.